Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
A very warm welcome to our worship here in St. Mary's or joining us online. It's good to have you with us on this Passion Sunday as Passion Tide begins in our lead up, of course, to Holy Week and to Easter. This evening it's choral evensong at 6 o'clock. Be delighted if you are able to join us. And then, of course, next week for Holy Week, you'll find information a bit in our service booklets. There's stuff online about what we'll be doing. Just to say also, on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, there'll be a said Eucharist here in the church at 7:30 with a short devotional address. So I hope you'll feel able, either here or online, to access our services in the most important week of the year.
Christ himself carried up our sins in his body to the tree, so that free from sins we might live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. Let us confess our sins. Lord Jesus Christ, we confess we have failed you as did your first disciples. We ask for your mercy and your help when we take our ease rather than walk with you. Lord, forgive us.
Christ, have mercy.
When we bestow a kiss of peace, yet nurse enmity in our hearts. Lord, forgive us.
Christ, have mercy.
When we strike at those who hurt us, rather than stretch out our hands to bless. Lord, forgive us.
Christ, have mercy.
When we deny that we know you for fear of the world and its scorn. Lord, forgive us.
Christ, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray. Most merciful God, who by the death and resurrection of your Son Jesus Christ delivered and saved the world, grant that by faith in him who suffered on the cross, we may triumph in the power of his victory. Through Jesus Christ, your Son our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Philippians. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies ahead, and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory. Christ humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name. Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume, made from pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." When the great crowd of the Jews learned that he was there, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and were believing in Jesus. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
And then comes the letter.
A few weeks ago, I saw the letter that the then Vicar of Leeds, Fenton Morley, who was the patron of St. Peter's in Bramley, sent to my dad, inviting him to become the vicar there. There was no application, just a letter. Nowadays, as I've said, if you want another job in the church, you fill in the forms, detail your qualifications, and why the church, whatever job you're applying for, needs you, and you hope for the best. I suppose it makes sense, except I wonder whether any of those important people we find in the pages of the Bible would ever get a job in the church today. Can we imagine John the Baptist as the Bishop of Leeds? Or St. Peter as the Archdeacon? Or St. Paul as the Vicar of Whitkirk? I wonder whether these characters might end up in the, perhaps they have a calling to missionary work in Patagonia or darkest Peru category. And yet the church needs the Johns, the Peters and the Pauls, because they are unafraid to speak difficult words, unafraid to challenge us and to make us think. Let's consider for a moment the story of St. Paul, the writer of that first reading. Before his conversion, of course, he'd been known as Saul. He was from good stock, well educated, so his CV looked good. That's what the first part of the reading we heard, first of all, was about, and perhaps he was on his way to being a rabbi. He was a zealous man who persecuted with lots of zeal the first followers of Jesus, and had, we imagine, worked hard to be known in the Jewish community. He was blameless. He was a man to watch, a man who had status and prestige. But then on the road to Damascus, he met Jesus, and his life was changed, transformed. Though I do wonder whether he would, as I say, get a job in today's church. But he certainly wasn't worried about his CV anymore. For whatever gains I had, he says, I have come to regard as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ our Lord. Whatever gains I had, I have come to regard as loss. This change of life cost him, for he describes how he suffered the loss of all things, presumably friends, as well as status, yet he had come to know that what mattered was his life in Christ. His life was to be spent living into the words with which I began. I want to know Christ, he wrote, and the power of his resurrection. Notice, as we think about the detail of this reading, how Paul's words are about the ongoing journey of faith. He recognizes that though Christ has called him, and that everything has changed for him, there is still more to discover. For he is straining forward, eager to know Christ more. And these words are a gift for us today, as we come towards the end of Lent. For do we not also want to know Christ and the power of the resurrection at work in our lives too? Lives in which we are rightly proud of the qualifications and experience we have, yet mindful too of how to hear Paul's words is to be challenged, because they ask us how the surpassing value of knowing Christ our Lord fits in. Paul's words invite us to reflect on what or who is most important to us. Challenge us not to make an idol of our CV, for who we are and what matters most is in and through our faith in Christ. And it's worth unpacking those two words a bit, for to Paul, to be in Christ means everything. It's a phrase he uses over 150 times in his letters. And to be in Christ is to share in Christ's life. To be in Christ is to know that Christ is not just a man of history, limited by events that took place 2,000 years ago, but a living presence at work in our lives. Present amidst the mundane and the ordinary, the challenge of getting up and getting going, the school run, the struggles at work, and the bathroom that needs cleaning. Present amidst the grieving and the leaving. Present in our failure and our sin. So our prayer daily is that we shall know Christ and be alert to his presence, his life sustaining ours, his life revealed in ours, as we love and serve him as best we can. And part of the calling of the church is to proclaim this sense of Christ being with us in good times and in bad, that we can know Christ and the power of his resurrection in the midst of the joys and struggles of daily life. Gathering around the table as a family here to share bread and wine transformed is a potent reminder of this. And to come to church is to be schooled in the sometimes subversive art of being a follower of Jesus, though it probably doesn't feel like it sometimes. Yet patiently, as the words through which you worship seep into our hearts, we get a different perspective. It nurtures our sense that we are so much more than our qualifications and achievements, CVs and our failures, that we are first of all in Christ. As I said earlier, this reading comes at a particular moment in our church year on Passion Sunday. This time next week, of course, it will be Palm Sunday, the day on which we begin the holiest week of our year. So if you want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection more, then there is no better time than the days before us. I may have a degree in theology, may have been to seminary, may have been ordained for almost 20 years, but I want to know Christ more. Do you?
Let us affirm our faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Though he was divine,
he did not cling to equality with God, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a slave. He was born in human likeness. He humbled himself and was obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God has raised him on high, and given him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every voice proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
As the people of the living God, let us join together in prayer for the church and for the world. Please sit on the altar prayer. Holy God, breathe your life into the Church, especially to your Church in Nigeria. Inspire its clergy and deepen the faith of the faithful. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Creator God, we see the vastness of the universe and the wonder of the heavens. Be with all scientists and astronomers as they explore the atmosphere around us. May we reduce harmful emissions of pollution gases. O God, help us to share in your love for the whole of creation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we pray for your church here at St. Mary's, for its church wardens, Melvin and Elaine. Grant them wisdom to serve this church with energy and compassion, and perform their duties with a true heart. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
As we come together today, we bring you our thanks for this place, this St. Mary's, where week by week we can come and share fellowship. For this church dedicated to worshipping you, and for this time set aside from the daily tasks of life, so that we can offer you our praise. We thank you for everything our coming here has meant and continues to mean. We pray too for those who, for a variety of reasons, are unable to worship with us here. We pray for those who are joining with us from home. We pray for those who have lost their faith or moved to a new area among new people. We pray for all visitors who will join in with the services held over Easter week. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving Father, as we think of ourselves, so we think also of those in trouble, those for whom this last week has brought disaster and tragedy, with those whose lives are in turmoil. Especially we pray for the people of Ukraine. We pray for those injured or maimed, for those who will face the rest of their lives coming to terms with physical and mental scars. Help the helpers, dearest Lord, those who are taking care of the displaced people, and for those collecting and sending emergency supplies, for drivers taking time off work to drive vans full of emergency aid. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all people who are worried about how they will pay their bills in the coming months, dearest Lord. Please quiet our anxious hearts and give us courage to step out in faith. We pray for all in local government who are entrusted with representing the interests of local people, for those elected to office as members of Parliament, and for those who serve in the government. Grant them the wisdom to make decisions and govern without self-interest, to respect their high office and lead with compassion. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the National Autistic Society, dearest Lord, for people on the autism spectrum and for their families, providing support, guidance and advice, as well as campaigning for improved rights, services and opportunities to help create a society that works for autistic people. We pray for ourselves and our families and friends, including the residents of Primrose Lane. We pray for Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth as the anniversary of Prince Philip's death falls this week. Lord, in your mercy. We bring to you, O Saviour, all those suffering in body, mind or spirit. Give them strength and enfold them in your loving care. To these we add those who have asked for our prayers. Ginny Campone, Tom Heafig, Jeff Blowers, Sharon Clark, Beryl Laverick, Shane Simpson and David Coates. Bless those who now live in long-term care, their families and those looking after them. We mention by name Mary Metcalf, Doreen Hodge, Margaret Burton, George Brown, Jennifer Mould, Mavis Cross. We ask for your blessing, Lord, on those who mourn, for comfort for those overwhelmed by grief. We pray for those who have recently died, including Alan Cross, Pat Hyde, and Barbara Dacre. And for Prince Philip, Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Faithful God, who promises to stand sure forever, we thank you for your patience with us and your refusal to give up on us. We pray for those whose anniversary of death falls at this time, Charles Hoare, Mildred Butterworth, Mary Chadwick, and Audrey Dignam. Merciful Father, accept
these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Thank you.
Jesus, true vine and bread of life, ever giving yourself that the world might live, let us share your death and passion. Make us perfect in your love. Amen. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For as the time of his passion and resurrection draws near, the whole world is called to acknowledge his hidden majesty. The power of the life-giving cross reveals the judgment that has come upon the world and the triumph of Christ crucified. He is the victim who dies no more, the lamb once slain who lives forever, our advocate in heaven to plead our cause, exalting us there to join with angels and archangels, forever praising you and singing. And bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we obey his command, send your Holy Spirit, that broken bread and wine outpoured may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends, and taking bread, he praised you. He broke the bread, gave it to them, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When supper was ended, he took the cup of wine. Again he praised you, gave it to them, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." So, Father, we remember all that Jesus did. In him we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. Bringing before you the bread of life and cup of salvation, we proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory.
Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favour on your people, gather us in your loving arms and bring us with Blessed Mary and all the saints to feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, O loving Father, for ever and ever.
Amen.
Let us pray with confidence as our Saviour has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the
Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you have taught us that what we do for the least of our brothers and sisters, we do also for you. Give us the will to be the servant of others as you were the servant of all, and gave up your life and died for us, but are alive and reign, now and forever.
Amen.
Faithful God, may we who share this banquet and follow you, glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, our salvation, life and hope, who reigns as Lord, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen.